Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This is our Surviving the Holidays in 2020. It's the second time we're doing it. Before we really get started, I really want to thank everybody for all the wonderful comments, for the sharing. It means a lot. I see on Facebook, you know, some people reaching out to some that have done podcasts and, you know, having a little banter back and forth and helping each other. And that's what this is all about, helping each other. So here we are in our, you know, Surviving the Holidays 2020. And I just ask the people, if they have time, to listen to the one that we did last year in December, because I put in that a lot of what I did to help me survive over the years that I was sick until I was well. And I don't want to have to repeat all that here. So if you have time, listen to the one we did. I don't think we had an episode number, but it's just called Surviving the Holidays. And here we are with the one for 2020. So here we are. It's a very strange year. Benzo people are suffering not only from the devastation of benzos, but now we have the COVID virus and how it's affected their lives. But the one thing that this virus has done is made it okay for us to be isolated so you no longer stand out. And I know for me, years ago, as every holiday came about, I was thinking, what's the excuse going to be that I can't go, that I feel too sick? You know, I'm on my second year, my third year. So I think that's one of the few benefits, is that it's okay to be isolated. You know, we're actually being very responsible. But the holidays are coming, and, you know, how are we going to deal with it? There isn't just a simple answer to this, because it all depends on where you are in your recovery. If you're alone and no family around, my best suggestion is to find those in the support groups that are similar to you. I have benzo friends literally all over the world now, and even though a lot of us are recovered, we stay in touch. We ship little gifts or make little goodies for each other. A phone call to another benzo friend, you know, it means the world to them, because only someone who has been through it understands it. And although for each one of us, life has thrown us different curveballs over the years, for instance, like when my husband got sick with the two kinds of cancer a couple of years ago, I didn't do anything for anyone. All my energy had to be concentrated on my husband and his health. And that's the beauty of friendships. People understand when we're going through things. And I'm not saying that all people understand, because we certainly know how some people are treated going through benzo withdrawal. They don't recognize it. They think we're making it up. But I will say that once we have gone through something like benzo withdrawal, I honestly believe we are more kind, compassionate people. We believe and see the invisible illnesses and stresses others might not get. And believe it or not, in some ways, I'm thankful for what happened to me. I think only those that are on the other side of healing will understand this. And for those of you that are still suffering, I think it's important to find a few things to be grateful for, even in the midst of our suffering. And years ago, we were so thankful just to have found others like ourselves. So here are just a few things that I'm thankful for, and then hopefully I'll have some suggestions of what you can do to get through the holidays. And again, listen to the one that I did last year on surviving the holidays when you get a chance. So I think one of the first things that I'm thankful for is that I saved my daughter from being put on a tranquilizer and an antidepressant when she had a reaction to an antibiotic when she was first starting nursing school. I took her to her doctor, and the first thing they wanted to do is they offered her an antidepressant and a benzo. And I couldn't believe it. You know, we kind of, you know, told the doctor off and walked out, and we did it naturally and turned her health around. And also, I'm thankful that when my mother fell and broke her ankle and had to go into a rehab for 2 months, she was put on Ambien every night, and I would question her, you know, not to take it. And she said, oh, I'm not like you. I can take those pills. But guess what? She was having a problem, and I had to fly to Florida, and I was there for 17 days with her. And the minute my sister brought her into the house, I could see that she was struggling with the noise, with the light. We stayed there, and then I brought her back to Boston, and I slowly weaned her off. And had I not gone through withdrawal, I don't think I would have been able to calm my mother down or let her know that every symptom that she was experiencing was normal and that she would heal. I'm thankful that when my sister-in-law had breast cancer and her doctor told her that not only could she take Ativan, that my brother could also take it and take as much as I wanted, not to worry. And I did tell my brother, you know, don't take it. You know, I said, this is the drug that harmed me. And my sister-in-law did take it, because at the time she was under a lot of stress. Not only did she have cancer, her mother had cancer. And she was very careful, but she also weaned off after just a short time. I'm thankful that when my husband was suffering with the two kinds of cancer. He was offered Ativan constantly while he was in the hospital, and almost every time we went for a visit, it was nonstop. And even then, I was even offered it if I had any problems. He never needed it. We weren't anxious. We dealt with it. And then I'm thankful for another time when one of my daughter's friends called frantically. She had been prescribed Ativan. And I was able to bring the Ashton Manual to her mother and talk to her. And then we told her, you got to change your diet. You got to make some changes. You're under stresses in school. She now has two beautiful little boys. I'm thankful for all my wonderful friends that I've met all over the world who were like me, suffering and in terrible, withdrawal after taking benzodiazepines as prescribed. We have developed lifelong friendships, and some of them I might never, ever meet, but we're as close as people can be. I'm thankful for the knowledge of diet and natural health that I've gained as a result of my iatrogenic illness. So many times in my household, we were able to do things more naturally without medication, including knowing how to cook correctly when my husband was sick. I'm thankful for my friends that I grew up with who never turned their backs on me, and even for my friends who, like me, were put on benzos at a younger age, that I can be there for them and understand what they are going through. I'm thankful that we've come as far as we have in the last 20 years to bring awareness and validation to those who have suffered for years not knowing it was the drug that was making them sick. But I think mostly I'm thankful for my family because it's intact after all that I went through, because we know that so many are not believed and shunned by their families and friends. So I'm sure you all have something to be thankful for. And at a time when you're suffering, I think it's important to think about, what can we be grateful for? Is there going to be something on the other end that this taught us something? So what are some things that people can do to get through the holidays, especially if you don't even have the strength to do anything? So, I've been watching our local news, and even our local news will have things on that, places you can go or call for meals. You can also call your local churches. Some of them are delivering food. And because of Zoom today, you can do Zoom calls with your family, with your friends, or even your benzo friends. So that's a wonderful thing. Even years ago, we had a couple that did Skype, a couple in the UK. They had no children and no family, and they actually were on somebody's table for Thanksgiving, experiencing an American Thanksgiving. They got all dressed up, and it really helped. It was the wife that was suffering, and it really just helped her. So somebody also suggested to talk to moderators of some of the support groups to see if they could do something where you could either receive a card, a Christmas card, a holiday card, or send a card to give your name to moderators or to the owners. So this is really an individual decision, something that maybe somebody might not want to do, or somebody else would love to get cards, so this is strictly voluntary. Talk to the owners and moderators of each of your support groups to see if it's something that they want to do. Now, something else that I'm a big believer in is, especially during this time with COVID, it's to support your local restaurants. If I wasn't cooking, I would have supported a local restaurant. We've had too many restaurants here in the Boston area that have closed because of the pandemic. And I think this is a really important one, to reach out to an old friend. Listen to the podcast with Stephanie and Scott. They were friends in high school, and she ended up coming back into Scott's life after seeing him on Facebook. She kind of noticed that he wasn't feeling well. She literally came into his life and saved his life. She brought him into her family with her husband and her children. And she was the guiding factor behind him with his nutrition, getting him to appointments, to the right functional medicine doctor, till he got his health back. And they are very close today. If you have family, again, depending on where you are in the withdrawal recovery process, it can be hard when you're sick and you have a family to take care of. But when I went through this each year, from my sickest to when I was getting better during the holidays, I had to fake it till I could actually enjoy it. In my Surviving the Holidays podcast, I'll say what I did. But one of the things that I'm thankful for is online shopping. There wasn't a lot of online shopping years ago when I was sick on benzos and even when I started to come off. So I think that's a wonderful thing that today you could just go right to your, your iPad, your computer, and you can order something up, and nobody has to be offended that you didn't do anything. And if you're too sick, you're not even going to care. There were years I didn't care for anything. I couldn't care if I gave out something or somebody gave it to me. So a suggestion I have is keep your mind busy. Years ago, I typed up every family recipe and favorite recipe that somebody had given me, and I put it together in a book, and we give copies out to everybody. It helped me keep my mind grounded on the symptoms, and yet it was hard to sit and do all the typing. But as I did, it really helped. So this year, even though I'm well and I need to keep myself busy, as if I'm not busy enough, I started sewing again back in March when the pandemic hit. This year, even though I'm well, I need to keep myself busy, as if I'm not busy enough, but I started sewing again back in March when the pandemic hit, and I made over 500 masks that I gave out. But since I got the sewing bug again, I've been making aprons. So each year, you know, when I was deathly ill, and, you know, even though I was ill, you know, the girls here, you know, my nieces and my daughter, we would have baklava day. And so I thought it would be fun to kind of surprise them and make them all aprons. And my sister does it in Florida, too. And I've already mailed their aprons down to them. So just something that was keeping me busy. And even though that's all done, you know, now I'm into wreath making. So I've been watching different things on YouTube, and I've made some nice wreaths. It's just something you don't have to spend a lot of money. You can get them at some of these, you know, we have some stores that are like dollar stores, or online you can find them cheaper. One of the things that my daughter, who's very busy, that she's going to do in case COVID hits really bad, even though she'll be working a lot of hours in the hospital, she wanted something to help her to relax. So she ordered in a bunch of calligraphy books, and she's teaching herself calligraphy. So again, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Look online, see what you can find. So now that we have Zoom, this is such a great thing, because I think it's great when you can see people and you can help them. So, you know, that's just something. Get together with some friends, and family and friends would always ask me, I remember around the holidays, oh, what do you want for Christmas? My answer was the same every year. I just want my brain back. You know, I was a slow healer. So when somebody hears me, they think, oh, she wasn't sick. Believe me, I was very sick. But eventually, once I got help from a functional medicine doctor and I got better, you know, and now, you know, I get excited for the holidays, but I just had to get through them. You know, benzos had caused some harm for me, and I had to fix all that. And when my health turned around, you know, I thought it never was going to, just like you, some of you might think it's never going to turn around. And believe me, it will. So no matter where you are in your recovery, when you feel that you're not well, you know, it's just another day, you don't care about the holidays, you know, force yourself to do what you can. And if you can't, that's okay. But when you are well again, every day, not just the holidays, it will bring you joy and happiness. Believe me, I am amazed at certain things in life. But the best gift that any of us can give and receive is the gift of hope. So I want to offer you all hope as you go through the holidays, not only sick during this pandemic, but depending on what country you're in, we're all in different phases of some sort of lockdown. But just know that many of us are out there that do care. You know, even if, you know, you can do something fun in the groups, you know, you can, it doesn't just have to be the holidays. Do something with others through Zoom, you know, some meetups. I heard in one of the groups that they do a weekly thing. And that might be fun to, you know, get in some of these groups and do something weekly just to get your mind off your suffering. Because when your mind is on your suffering all the time, it's not healthy. And as you know, I just recently did the podcast with Dr. Gary Krakoff. And, you know, we were emailing back and forth to prepare for the podcast. And I never really noticed what he had at the bottom. He had a little saying, and it said, worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles. It empties today of its strength. And how true is that? Because when I was ill, all I did was worry about not only what was happening in the present, I was putting myself in the future sick. So I was really making it worse than it was. I'm going to give you, we all have different beliefs, but I'm going to give you two of my favorite Bible verses that helped me to get through my suffering. And one was a book that a pastor's wife who went through benzo withdrawal that I helped, she gave me a book. It was a daily Bible verse. You'd read the verse, and then it had some encouragement. And when I got to the day that had Joel 2:25, it said, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten." I mean, when I read that, I wept because it was so true. Even though I lost a lot of years, and especially the years my kids were growing up, it really has been restored. I am so grateful for my family and the fun that I can have with everybody now. And another person, she was one of the older women in my first Benzer group. So if people think, oh, I'm older, I can't go through it. She was older, and she was cold turkeyed off of 6 milligrams of Ativan. And she encouraged me when I got sick because I had changed my diet to a more raw diet, and I got sicker. It was the worst thing for me because I had candida. And she said to me, I want you to put this verse in front of you. And it was Proverbs 13:12. Said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And that is so true, because any time I lost hope, I felt sicker. I was discouraged. I thought, why are people getting better before me? And that Bible verse, it was so true. Hope is everything. And, you know, I can't stress that enough. And as Garrett and I sit here, you know, talking, who would have thought years ago when I was so sick, we'd be doing a podcast show that he is very much encouraging. And I think one of the things is for anybody who has lost relationship with their children, even, you know, their adult children, that we want to show you that it's important. I hope your kids will listen to this. Because I, you know, Garrett's right here. Garrett, what are your feelings about the holidays and what we did have or didn't have back then?
I don't know. Did we talk about this on the first one a little bit?
We might have, but it's a year ago, and what the heck, I don't remember a lot of stuff. So, but we are in 2020. So let's. What are your thoughts on the holidays for 2020?
Oh, for 2020, I mean. So I think when you're a little kid, the holidays are always like surrounded around the home. So the fact that you couldn't go out wasn't like a huge deal because, you know, the house was always done up and we had nice Christmases and, you know, Thanksgiving. So I don't think the holidays was like a time that I recognized that anything was different. You know, holidays 2020 now, I don't know. So I think when you get older, it's a lot of it's outside the house. It's like going to Christmas parties, you know, work parties or whatever it is, and meeting up with friends, and then just, it's not going to happen this year.
So kind of this year, like most people going through Benzedrol who had a life, well, all of a sudden people don't have lives. They're stuck in their house. It's like, you know, we all were. But you could, there's a way to still make it nice because, as you're saying, you know, I struggled to put things up to make it look nice. I struggled to get gifts, and you weren't really robbed of anything.
No,
right.
I never felt like anything was different on the holidays.
And we had our discussion, because Thanksgiving will be coming up next week, we had our discussion of what to do. Do we have, you know, your girlfriend's parents come? Mm-hmm. Do we even have anybody? Do we let your sister and her husband in the house? Because he was recently very sick and she works in a hospital. We were very, very concerned. But they've now had COVID tests. So, and that's her favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. So We went from not having anything to having something to not having it again to we are going to have it, you know, and Mariah's parents are coming, which will be a lot of fun. And for me, I've never had anybody here for Thanksgiving. It's always just been us. So it's my, if you had asked me years ago, could I even handle somebody coming to the house? It would have been, oh, I don't know if I'll be well that day. Mm. And now I'm excited about it.
All right. You don't even think about that now.
Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. That's what I want people to know. You won't. You'll think you'll never get better. I don't even think about it. And, hey, for me, it's a bonus. Everybody's splitting up making stuff, so that's kind of good for me.
I think, you know, for me, too, and I don't know if you're like this or, you know, other people listening, like, the holidays are a lot about, like, rituals, you know, for me, like, things that I do every year because it's the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is like a dumb one, but like my first one that it's like, okay, it's holiday, it's the holiday season, is Starbucks. So like, because I worked in downtown, I always walk to the downtown Starbucks, the big one with the kettle on the top, and I buy the Christmas short, and it comes in like the red cup, and you know, that's like part of like kicking off the holidays for me. You can still do stuff like that, it's just there's not many people in the streets when you come out of Starbucks anymore,
But you know what? Sometimes you have to start new traditions. So somebody was even saying, even if you're alone on the holidays, get a candle, a nice candle that somebody might have given you or you've had in your house. Light it. And even if you're not having a turkey dinner, because if we had canceled Thanksgiving, I actually got a little excited for a minute there. I thought, wow, I don't have to cook. Mm-hmm. And you can go, you know, up to Mariah's family's and Leanna can go with Anthony's family. And I had said to Dad, I think we're just going to order out. We'll support a local restaurant. And I'm not even getting turkey. I'll see what the special is, you know. And you don't have to do anything. I know my sister's doing, you know, if my mother's not feeling well, they're just going to do a lobster mac and cheese. I'm like, that's a great idea. I would love lobster mac and cheese.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a turkey dinner.
It doesn't.
These are all, you know, old traditions, and they can be broken.
Yeah. Anything can change. You know, one of the things I think when you're going through any type of illnesses, you just got to go with the flow. You make changes. And when we were going to cancel Thanksgiving, I said, we can do it anytime. We can have a Thanksgiving dinner anytime. It didn't have to be, you know, next week. But, you know, we are doing it.
Yeah,
so.
And I think you brought up the point, too. It's, you know, everybody is going through it this year. It's, you know, we live in a city that is mostly, you know, it's a big college town.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kids can't go home for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see what happens for Christmas. So a lot of kids are, you know, left in their dorm rooms because they can't fly. They can't expose their families.
Right. And if you're a recovered benzo person, because you've been through it and you know, and if you're on some of these support groups and you know somebody lives near you, and nobody's saying you have to be best buddies with them, but you know what? Go drop off a meal to them. You know, if you're doing any type of buddy system, drop a meal off. You don't even have to drop a meal. I mean, we have so many things available today with what are some of the delivery services? You can just order a meal for somebody and have it delivered to their house.
Like Uber Eats.
Uber Eats, is there Grubhub? You know, I'm not good at all that tech stuff.
Grubhub.
I mean, there's just so many things that you can do. And, you know, give the gift of something like that, you know. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. So anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
All right. Well, I hope in some way that these suggestions have helped you. And I wish you all a happy holiday. But above all else, I pray for you all to get healthy and have your lives back again. Thank you so much for listening.